So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. Make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save you.
Yeah, the whole time.
He'll let him speak for himself. He's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
Hey, everybody!
What up?
Hey!
Wait a minute!
Holy moly! Look at this podcast thing going on.
Kittens, you're so sinister.
I actually got people caught off guard. That feels exciting.
You caught Lisa in the middle of dinner. What are you doing?
Okay, I'm at the pita bread now, and like I'm almost done.
Okay,
did you get a euro?
It'll be like 2 seconds. It's a chicken
euro.
Pita.
Oh yeah,
chicken pita.
Yum,
delish,
like and healthier chicken. Slightly.
Yeah. Mm.
Fresh from Windy City Euros.
Not a sponsor.
I'm right in between the two mics. What should I do, Tins?
Oh, you can hop on this one, B-Well.
Nice.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 79 of the
Holy
podcast.
Shit, dude.
Feeling
Holy
a blind.
Shit.
We
like
are here to stay.
Nick's been doing this since like 2 weeks. Nick's been trying to make faces at me. Well, it's like Will Smith point style, but he'll just make a face at me for like forever until I look. And then most of the time, it's like, Nick, you're just making a stupid face again.
Does he do anything once the face is complete?
Yeah, he laughs like me.
Well, I guess as long as he gets away with it without normies catching him, then it's okay.
So.
Nick's generally pretty good at doing something stupid without normies catching him.
It's like stealthy stupid.
La lollipop.
Yes, I'm aware. I was going to say, Nick used to catch me all the time responding to him, and then the normies would catch me. And then I would feel like the idiot.
Man.
And everyone would think that I was the idiot. But no, Nick is the master of the idiots.
And on that note, why don't we start at the far end of the room and sound off?
Hey, it's Gustavi.
Hey, it's Scott.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Hey, it's Nick.
What up? It's LP.
Hey, it's Tins.
I'm the friend of the master of the idiots. Brian. But Nick's the master of the idiots, not me.
I thank you.
Oh, gosh, that sounded wrong in the sentence.
Yo, girl, it's Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we are just about ready to...
God.
Shit! Where's that mailbag?
What is it, Tins?
Where's that mailbag?
What could you be looking for?
What'd I do with that mailbag, Mark? You see that mailbag?
Don't you worry, Tins. I've got your mailbag right here.
Mark's
like
way sexy.
So smooth
like,
on here,
this?
Mark.
Let me open this letter.
That could not have been less sexy immediately.
Did you have that in your pocket?
Maybe I did.
How long did you have that in your pocket?
And I was happy to see you.
I thought
never
it was
ending.
I thought it was a pretty good surprise, actually. I was impressed with it.
Surprising, yes. Sexy, no.
Let me just open this letter up. This one.
Dude, this guy's on fire already.
Volcano.
For the listeners who haven't been able to figure out his letter this week, is what I assume is his personal electric razor.
No, this is not my personal electric razor. This electric razor comes to us
from
Mr. Lai Venation.
Wow. So we've got a foreign listener, Mr. Yeah. Venation.
Venation.
It's Turkish, right?
No.
Oh, Persian.
No,
yeah,
maybe.
Persian. Could be.
I'm gonna lean Persian.
Well, everyone out there in Persia, this is what Mr. Venation has to say. He says, "Hello, Octavarius. What would you guys do if you had like a big, crazy concert to put on? Like, how hard would you rock? Also, what are your favorite concerts you've ever seen, and how did those inspire you? Also, again, oh, he just drew like the like rock and roll symbol,
the fingers,
rock
yeah,
on.
Metal fingers,
devil horns.
What's
metal.
Up with
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Metal.
Yes, not the metal shocker, Nick.
Oh, sincerely, lie.
Sweet. That's actually interesting. What would you guys do if you guys had to put on like a huge concert? Like, what's your perfect concert with the bands that you would put on?
The line, the lineup?
Yeah, what's your lineup?
Ooh. How many bands do we get?
You get 4.
And they're alive? Oh, they're all alive. Every band is alive. They have to be bands that are together and touring now?
No, as long as they're all alive, or even if like one or two of them's dead, you can have them.
You can still like...
So like, you can still have the Beatles.
Okay, but that was my major thing. Is, yeah, so we can have them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. Have,
what is it, Harrison?
And Lydon.
Ringo, right?
Well, Ringo's alive.
Yeah, Ringo.
So you just have Ringo and Paul?
And Paul's right down the street.
Yeah. So you have a show with Ringo and Paul?
Well, I thought you were saying that if half the band is alive, you would have the entire band.
That's what I assume.
You would be able to replace them with like other guys.
You can have bands living or dead, correct?
Okay, yeah, fine, whatever. Living or dead.
That's what I was going to say. We all want.
This is such a big tent. I mean, geez, I don't even know where to begin.
Huge. I would start. I'll go obviously the Beatles.
Beatles are your head like closing guys, right?
Yeah. Yes, closing. I'd have the Rolling Stones open. Okay. And then since you opened it up, I'd put Bach in there.
What? You'd have Bach follow the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
How is Bach going to follow the Stones?
It's going to be this huge explosion of rock energy and sex and following it is Bach.
Some shitty no-name we don't even remember.
I'm not.
No, it's just that Bach isn't known for his showmanship.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, but imagine like... But,
you don't know.
Thank you, Selby.
There are a lot of writings about
crappy the,
is there any video, Brian?
There is no video, okay, but nobody said like, that. Man, he... You know,
I heard there was this one sick Bach show where he was like opening for the King, and he started playing like
just this
kick-ass fugue, and then like the words "fuck" just lit up in flames on the back of the organ.
Angry Bach.
I love that.
Hey, did you see? There was a thing on Reddit today. I've been meaning to talk to you about it, but Kings of Leon had like the worst
performance.
Did you see video?
No,
of it?
I didn't. Was it
terrible? Oh, it's so bad. What? It was hilarious.
Kings of Leon have been pretty famous as of
and
the
I
past
love
couple
Kings
years
of Leon.
For doing shitty performances because they're kind of like asshole drama queens since they've gotten big. Oh yeah,
I saw them live at Lollapalooza last year.
They were great then. They put on a really good set. I really liked it, but it pissed me off because they didn't do an encore. And I just feel like if you're gonna do a big outdoor festival like that and you're a closing act, it is your responsibility to put on an encore for your fans.
It was
Paul McCartney did 2 encores last night. Yeah. And he probably is doing 2 tonight.
I heard he was amazing.
Yeah, he did 3 hours, 30 songs. He's 70 years old.
That guy.
He did.
Some,
yeah, he did.
I don't do that.
That's mojo in him. So what made
you
it
should,
bad?
You, oh my God! You should watch it. I couldn't even watch the whole thing. I was so embarrassed.
Really?
I'm putting it. I'm watching it now, but you can't miss. I'll put it on the website.
The shows that I've heard about them doing is there was the infamous show. I think it was last summer. I want to say where there were a bunch of like pigeons and other birds and shit overhead, like right over the band, and they kept and they kept shitting on the band and the band ended up getting so fed up they just said fuck it and walked out like 4 or 5 songs into their set.
How do they not know how to get rid of the pigeons? Like it's not that hard to get rid of pigeons.
I don't know, man. But there was another show I think earlier that same year where they were like 3 songs into their set and the audience wasn't giving them the response that they wanted, so they said like, come on man, we're out here, we're motherfucking Kings of Leon, show us some love.
What?
And they still didn't respond as enthusiastically. So some of the band members just flicked off the audience and they left 4 songs into their set.
Wow.
Well, this one, they were doing their famous Sex is on Fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't, if it was, Rock Band, he would be booed off the stage. That's
how
he can't, he's not off, he's off key, the notes are wrong, and then halfway through, it's literally like that, dude, and halfway through he just stops. He just stops singing, and he's like, it was like that. It's from the Reading Festival in 2009. Is
maybe their audio was off. Maybe they couldn't hear themselves.
I feel like
I feel like he probably plays that song enough. You know,
well, that's your job. You know, that's what you get paid for. So do it.
When that happens, like I always want to know is like if a band like stops like half like a third way through their set,
you don't get reimbursed.
You don't get reimbursed. So like. Like what? So where does the money go? Is
people
just,
people riot? Is what
they
riot?
Okay.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses quit on a show.
Yeah,
they were doing a double bill with Metallica, It was in Toronto in, I think, 91 or 92. And what happened was James Hetfield got burned by some pyrotechnics. Wow. And so Metallica had to end their set.
Yeah.
And so they asked Axl and Guns N' Roses to go on. And Axl was like, ah, I can't do it. My voice is fucked up or whatever. I can't go on right now. And so the fans just rioted.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible. Now they have bigger promoters now, like Live Nation,
yeah,
and some other companies that are able to control some of those things a little bit better.
Hmm.
Does it, you know, probably put a damper on some of the concert experience? Yeah, maybe. But it also ensures that at least you'll get some of the show that you paid for,
yeah,
most of the show that you paid for.
Yeah, it's just interesting because, like, any sort of live performance, those performers, again, that is their job. That's that's how they make their living. But it's one of the only places where, it's one of the only jobs you can ever have where if you fuck up on the job, everyone is watching.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, but I've seen concerts where they fucked up before, and they'll restart.
Some are more good-natured about it than others. I feel like it's all in the way you play it off. The audience will forgive you because they, you know, they love you. They want to come and see you. They paid to see you, so They're gonna try their best to have a good time no matter how you're doing.
I have to tell you, I don't mind if a band will start a song again, but I do mind if the band goes through with the song and then it doesn't sound right. Because I went and saw Smash Mouth.
Yes,
you did.
You're so back. Great. With Mark, and it was an awesome experience, except for when they got to All Star to close out the set.
That's the best
which
one.
We were psyched for.
Yeah,
that's why you
the some of the audio cut out, and especially on, I think
at
it was
the
Steve.
Cubby Bear. I can't believe it.
The Cubby
Bear. Yeah, the Cubby Bear. The audio cut out on Steve's mic, and so like it was all of us singing along with Steve, but and the band was playing it, but it was just kind of like, come on, man.
The other thing,
it's All Star.
The other thing that was, oh sorry.
Well, there was that time when awesome. We saw the band from TV.
We did. That was
and then with Hugh Laurie's which is, I don't know if anyone knows, is just a gaggle of Hollywood people.
It's a band cobbled together from mostly primetime network television shows, some of whom are much more recognizable than others. Hugh Laurie of House is by far the most recognizable person.
I'd say the second most recognizable is James Denton from Desperate Housewives.
There was,
the third would be the chubby guy from Heroes.
Yeah, Greg Grunberg of Heroes. And Nathan... What's that?
Greg Grunberg, is he the pilot from the Lost?
He is also the pilot from Lost.
Yes.
Also, I forget his name. The guy who played Nathan Petrelli in Heroes.
We're talking big stars.
Yeah, big stars. So how could
anyway,
the band fail?
So they kept fucking leading Hugh Laurie, who's a very accomplished musician, a pianist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jazz pianist, I believe.
Probably the most talented of all those people.
They kept leading into him to start, and the keys wouldn't work. So I think he did it like three or four times. Like, well, what do you want to do, Hugh? Well, let's rock and roll. And the keys wouldn't work every single time. And I was just like, I want to leave right now.
But I'm couldn't because the show was like 3.5 hours long.
Well, they just loved themselves a lot.
Of course.
And so that was that's the thing I get a little, you know, band banter. Some people
banter,
are better at it.
Band-ter.
It's a weird line to tread. It's some people are better conversationalists than others, and there's a performance aspect to it too. You can't just bullshit.
Some bands like each other more than other bands.
Yes. Yeah, that's got to do a lot with it too.
And some people are like Dave Matthews, who I don't think says real words
he
between
does not.
Songs. It's just he's always like, then we're gonna come on it with satellite.
He says numbers.
Take that,
wow.
Nick.
I am content
wow.
with his language, and I love it.
It's really funny, and I don't. I'm sure it's on purpose
I
by now.
That's like dead accurate too.
It's really close.
Mark's seen a couple of Dave Matthews songs. And
yeah.
Growing up, where Mark and Nick and I grew up, we all know a lot of Dave Matthews. That was just a thing
mm-hmm.
that we grew up with. And we had friends that toured with bands. They followed these bands. Did any of you guys ever follow a band?
No.
No.
No, I've met friends that did Band Room Follow.
My brother will do that. My brother will go to a band's show, like a Widespread Panic, like a jam band.
He was a Sound Tribe Sector 9 guy.
My brother is a big Sound Tribe Sector 9 guy. And he will go and see multiple shows, and he'll travel, you know, follow the band to different locations and see different shows because it's that, you know, it's that cool.
This is kind of related, but my cousin, my aunt, have been going like state to state into different cities to follow the show Jersey Boys.
I saw that show. It's awesome.
Oh, it's so awesome. But like literally, they take trips to like Boston and Vegas and like all these places to see Jersey Boys, and they know like all different casts and different cities, and like it's kind of like a concert.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. There's lots of it's live music. Those guys are actually singing.
It is.
I feel like their show, though, is very, you know, similar every time, whereas the bands that my brother sees are completely different every time, even though it all kind of sounds the same.
No, yeah, like, I could definitely get behind that more. Like, if it was the same exact show, I would get bored. It could be like, I know all the lines, I know everything. Granted, it's a great show.
I also would get a little bit, you know, tough on somebody that didn't deliver the joke right that time. Whereas if Dave Matthews fumbles a joke,
yeah,
you
like,
know, no one gives a hell.
No, I'm chicken cross the road now.
Mark, all right, you're running away with this, man.
Easily.
This is easy on a satellite.
That's not
there you go, mate. Come on.
I know it's funny. It's
I'd like him to say, "Let's play Satellite" and not play that.
It's fun for me because I didn't grow up with Dave Matthews. I never listened to him like in high school, in college. I still don't really. I don't have a problem with him necessarily. I haven't been introduced to him, so I just don't care. So one of his songs was on the radio today, but I've heard it a million times, and to this day, I couldn't tell you a single word. Like, yeah. I can sing the verse for you. We didn't feel you, every night from there.
Now you got it. We didn't feel
you, every day.
That's one of my least favorite album.
It started, well, what happened
that was when Glenn Ballard started producing.
He fired his producer he'd had for all of his other albums.
Absolutely
white. And he got this, Glenn Ballard, who's like a big producer at the time,
he
is.
He's famous for making Jagged Little Pill with Alanis Morissette.
Oh,
he's great at getting good songwriters to write supposedly better songs.
But the thing that's interesting is that the Dave Matthews Band, regardless of what you think about any, you know, about the product of their music, the individual musicians are really good.
Right,
like Carter Buford is debatably like one of the best living drummers. That's like writing popular music.
Yeah, that is debatable. If you're serious about it,
Mark left that chink in the armor.
I used to say he was the best, and then I saw maybe told this podcast story before. Like I saw what I feel is the greatest living drummer, although he may not actually be living anymore.
The dude from Rush?
No, it's his name is Elvin Jones. He was formerly the drummer for the John Coltrane Quartet. And I think it was like freshman year of college. So this man, we were at the Chicago Jazz Festival, and he was the closing act. And we didn't know who he was at the time. They introduced the Elvin Jones Jazz Machine. And we saw, like, first come out, like, all these 23-year-old people who were announced basically like Juilliard students and, like, recent Juilliard graduates, basically. A bunch of them walk out. And then this, like, rickety old man, like, more or less stumbles to the microphone. He could barely, like, he was trying to adjust the microphone and could not do it. And he's like, "Hey, everybody, thank you guys all for coming out. My name's Elvin Jones, and this is the Jazz Machine. We're gonna play his songs." And then he sat down behind the drums, and it was like he was 22 again.
Wow.
He was playing like polyrhythmically, which I had never heard before. He was playing like fantastically fast. It was incredible. And had nothing to base it off at the time, and I've never heard anything better. And his band was like was really good too, but like I was surprised he could even lift his drumsticks before he sat down, and it was incredible.
It's weird when you see a real professional musician and a professional band that, you know, I mean, because we've seen plenty of rock bands and whatnot, but then you see a rock band or a jazz band or just a band of professionals. Mm-hmm. It's really something, and
what's
it really
a good, what's a good
out.
Example of that?
Well, Elvin Jones, like you said, or you know, like a lot of people talk about Bruce Springsteen's band, the E Street Band.
Yeah.
You know, you look at you know, just a professional band. Everybody is a consummate performer.
It's rough because it's like putting on a live show is a skill that's slightly different from just playing good music.
Yeah,
oh, it's very different.
And you get a lot of people like when bands start out, they're not making enough money to be a band, so a lot of them are, you know, working day jobs or whatever. They're rehearsing one or two nights a week and then maybe performing every other week or whatever when they can. Compared to a band that's been touring for like 30 years, you see them, they're performing, you know, 5-6 times a week. They're writing and playing music all day. And there's so much more experience that goes. Like they talk about the Beatles. The Beatles went to Germany for a few seasons of playing like this German nightclub scene.
What?
Yeah.
And so they would play these like what were nightclubs. They would have like exotic dancers and shit sometimes, but mostly it was just like raucous bars. And they would play like 6-hour sets.
Yeah, longer than that even, I heard.
Yeah, like 6 hours is like the standard. Mm-hmm. And then it'd maybe be breaks, but if people liked them, they'd go on again. And it was every night. Compared to Liverpool, where all their friends were playing, where you'd be, you know, just like it is now, you're kind of like struggling to get a show, you maybe perform once a week, or you get a recurring gig, something like that. So by the time they'd come back from these seasons, they're logging like hundreds of hours of shows. And hours of shows for like raucous, inconsiderate crowds. And by the time they were done with this sort of period in their career, they were so good at just playing, like the way that they played would make everyone pay attention.
They could play any house. It just gets that way. And when you see professional musicians, it just is, it's an amazing thing.
I think some artists just like don't really care though about the performance aspect of it.
It's weird. It can all depend. If we're just talking about bands, for instance, like you can have a like somebody like David Bowie, who performance is a crazy part of his live aspect. Like he has separate characters just to go nuts on stage, basically.
Like Lady Gaga, practical.
But then you've also got bands like the Strokes, who, for all intents and purposes, they just don't really care that the audience is there. But they're still both excellent bands. They're both excellent to see live.
But the Strokes, here's the thing. Now, I have not seen the Strokes live, Tins.
I loved it.
But so to you guys that have seen the Strokes live, are they all, like, if... My argument for the Strokes being professional musicians, possibly, like what I'm saying is that even though they don't do showy stuff, I feel like their set is tight and that they would play tight.
Oh, yeah. You can't deny that about them, yeah.
There are bands that play live that are sloppy live and, you know, and their live show is kind of like a hodgepodge. Is the Strokes show tight?
I only seen them once. And
I saw them at the same time.
And that particular show, I mean, I was the most excited for. And they were just standing there the whole time. But, I mean, the music was good.
No, like, how was the musicianship?
Oh, the
was
musicianship. The music was great.
The music was great. They played really well. But they, on paper, I hated it. Only because when I see music, and we may have talked about this either in a previous podcast or just in passing, when I see live music, I want it to be a show. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, make it so I'm not just listening to the album on my headphones. Mm-hmm. Make it so I'm watching something.
Yeah.
You know? And they didn't do a lot, but what they did was amazing.
Yeah, some bands vary it up in actually what they're doing on stage. Some bands will vary up their songs completely. So, again, like you were saying, so they don't have... So audiences don't have that exact same experience as just listening to it on their headphones or whatever.
Specifically with the Strokes, I saw them when... I think Kings Leon opened up for him or something. This was like way, like Kings Leon's first album. I think it maybe what was Room on Fire just came out. So yeah, it was like their second Chicago tour, and it was somewhere smaller. And they had a lot of energy, but like they didn't really seem to get along when I saw them in a smaller venue.
Really?
Yeah.
It don't seem like they like each other very much.
Yeah, it seems like a business relationship.
I think Julian Casablancas is an asshole and probably in real life.
Well, he's like he has complete creative control over
exactly.
Every song.
I read that his dad is in the music business, like owns a music company.
No, his dad's like a fashionista guy, right?
I heard he, I'll look it up. I got power.
I think that's one of the other, like one of the guitarists or something. His
is
dad
it?
Is a big,
I just know, I read like a brief bio and I'm like, these are just a bunch of rich guys.
Yeah, they were all, they were not, they played in New York, but they're all from like the suburban, surrounding suburbs.
Does that make them less good?
No, not at all.
It doesn't make them less. Vampire Weekend's the same deal. They're all rich
guys.
It
doesn't make them any less talented.
It's just different from their image. Their image is like I'm cool guy from the New York bars, and Vampire Weekend's like, oh yeah, we went to like, you know, Columbia and New York, so yeah, we're awesome.
That's true.
I hate any shows that like making the band, even American Idol really, where... So I feel like people have to work to get to, like, star quality, or, you know, like, people...
Do they still do Making of the Band? Is that still around?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. It's just,
it'll probably
it's just
be back,
annoy
though.
Me. It's just like...
Yeah, one day it all comes back.
I feel like it's so important to know a band's story, and, like, for a band to have heart, and
so
be
you
like,
disagree
oh,
with
get together.
You disagree with a band being put together by a studio, then?
Yeah, it's stupid.
You know who's like that? Led Zeppelin.
No way.
Led Zeppelin were a studio band first. They were put together. There was like a hodgepodge of different... There was like the guitarist from, what was he, in Cream?
Yeah.
And the bassist was in something else.
Yeah. I mean that... It's hard to ever argue against anything in music. You know, something works. Even if one thing has never worked, one day it probably will. Somebody always breaks through.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun that way.
You know, it was weird for me. When at the aforementioned Smash Mouth show, finding out the men from Smash Mouth had other dimensions to their character that I did not realize or bother to think about before.
Were they deep?
What are you talking about?
Such as,
So
they
like,
have feelings.
So during
get your shit together, Paul. We can do this. Dude. I have kids to feed.
No,
Smash Mouth. Fuck you, Steve. We're not doing this.
They
now.
Got
Smash Mouth got a little real.
They
sometimes.
Got super. They got just too. Because okay,
like
I know Smash
Vermont.
Mouth. I know Smash Mouth is the band that my dad also likes. You know, like,
your
that's
dad
who
likes
Smash
Mouth?
Dude, dads love Smash Mouth.
Your dad likes Smash Mouth?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He saw them at the Palatine Streets of Palatine Festival.
I missed that.
Awesome.
So that we're in the middle of this show, and he's just like, you guys all need to get fucking drunk right now.
What?
Who here is on coke?
Oh, shit. What?
He just yelled a couple things about coke.
Hey,
and
Ned,
why
don't you just shut up for a while, huh?
Yeah, he yelled about coke.
No, dude.
He yelled
like,
about coke
more than once,
a while,
heavily then, implying he himself was on coke. I believe.
I hope your dad went into work the next day and asked all his colleagues if anyone wants coke meant.
That was not at the Palatine Festival. This was at Cubby Bear.
Oh, okay.
With Mark and I,
just yelling about coke.
Who is on coke? City of Palatine. Mark and I were not on coke, so we were confused.
there were definitely people in the audience that were like, yeah.
Yeah, they were having
like,
a great time.
Like, coked out Smash Mouth fans.
It's a Cubby Bear full of Smash Mouth fans, dude.
Yeah, man. You know.
It actually wasn't full.
What?
Really?
I couldn't go to that, and
like
I was
three
so
quarters.
Disappointed. I remember that.
To be fair, though, like this concert was like right before I moved in with BWO and Mark, and I remember I was sitting at home in the Schaumburg area, and BWO called me up. He's like, "Hey, Smash Mouth is at the Cubby Bear. It costs $20. Can you do this?" And at the time, like I was still looking for a teaching job and that sort of thing, and I had to weigh my options. And in the end, unfortunately, I still regret this decision. But unfortunately,
I
at the time, I'm like,
too.
You know, I really probably need this $20 more than this night of Smash Mouth.
That's right, it was $20. That was a put-off.
That was my put-off too, yeah.
I couldn't believe, because here's the thing, little do you guys know, Smash Mouth, one of the best Van Halen cover bands ever. They played like four or five Van Halen tracks. What? Just off of the first album.
You guys
Dude,
said
that's
the,
awesome.
You guys said
I
the,
love
you,
that album.
The guitarist yeah. did Eruption, right?
Yes, the guitarist did a really? Great version of Eruption.
Dude, Eruption rules.
And Steve from Smash Mouth does an amazing David Lee Roth. They were a great Van Halen cover band. I loved them.
Their next phase.
It was so fun.
They, you know, people have to evolve.
It was, aw, dude, I hope dude, they, so to just have a night of Smash Mouth tunes in Van Halen, if you're from the suburbs, you are having the night of your life.
I hope Smash Mouth, I'm imagining a scenario where Smash Mouth, like kind of falls off of the people's radar permanently, so they try and emerge a second career as, like, an underground, like, Van Halen cover band, but they don't want anyone to know that they used to be in Smash Mouth.
God, I hope they still close with All Stars.
Man, it's a great Smash Mouth cover band.
This Van Halen cover band I've seen 6 times. For some reason, but they almost never do covers, but they always, always cover All Star.
And they're good.
And you know what? 4 of those times they covered Walking on the Sun.
But like, I don't know, it wasn't that great. I'd rather have just seen Smash Mouth do it.
This Van Halen cover band is a great Smash Mouth cover band.
I have heard that from friends and other folks that I guess friends and acquaintances. Sometimes they'll go to like I hear a lot when folks go to like a Billy Joel show. Now, they'll say, hey, you know, I understand why there are Billy Joel cover bands. Because sometimes the singer can't hit those notes anymore. And so there is a place for a good cover band, I feel like. Beatles. The Beatles cover band.
Oh, they are awesome.
I think we talked about this in a podcast. Yeah. They're really good.
A good cover band matters. Sometimes to people. Sure. Oh yeah.
One time I was walking to the train in Park Ridge, and it was during some sort of Park Ridge summer festival, and there was a band, and it drove me nuts. I was just waiting for the train. I was forced to listen to this. And they were like an 80s cover band, which I'm cool with, except they only ever played like a minute of each song. And it was basically like, you are impatient, so we're just gonna skip to another song you can cheer because you recognize.
Was this band's name Brother Willis?
Brother Willis, because Brother Willis played with Soul.
They were the greatest band I've ever... My favorite concert I've ever seen, if I could call it a concert.
What?
No, we're getting there. Go ahead, Nick.
So the summer after... right after Brian, Mark, and I graduated college, we were all still in the suburbs, and there's this bar called Idols.
Arlington Heights.
They had 250 You Call It's on, like... Saturday night or something.
No, it was,
like,
Wednesday.
I'm sorry, it was only $3 You Call It's on Saturday.
Yeah, on Wednesday, for $2.50, you could get anything. So, yeah. Like, wow. Patron shots for everyone, $2.50.
Exactly. So we would go there. None of us, we were trying to find jobs. It was like 2 weeks after we graduated. We're like, adults, this sucks.
We just needed to drink top shelf liquor.
Yeah.
And we'd drink top shelf liquor and get bombed on a Wednesday.
Exactly. And then one night... There's this, and then they're like, all right, we have a special guest. We have a special guest for you guys for this Wednesday night. You know them, you love them, Brother Willis. And it was like these two like really old guys who probably shouldn't be playing music.
There was more than two people on the stage.
Dude, Paul McCartney's like gonna come here and punch you.
Paul McCartney was not in Brother Willis,
but he's like 70.
No, he can play music. I'm not saying he can't.
You said they were too old to be playing music.
I said two old guys who probably shouldn't be playing music.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry. Okay, you're cool, Paul.
And thank you. And
Brother Willis.
What did they do, that Breakfast Club song?
They started out with Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About
Me. Yeah.
Well, what I think really made Nick like this band was actually there was a lot of build-up in the bar for the band. It was about 2 hours of them announcing that Brother Willis would perform. and we just kept drinking this top shelf liquor for cheap. And Nick was just so thrilled because we kept, you know, guessing at what Brother Willis would be because it was just such a nondescript name. And it just didn't really say what the... Nobody said anything about what the band was, so we just guessed.
My imagination, it was awesome. They were really great.
What else did they play?
We kept saying that they would be British. And so we would say, they would come out and say, like, "We are Brother Willis!" And then they would come out and, you know, do like, "We..." Yeah. And,
were they dressed as monks?
No, it was a dude dressed in all black. He was dressed in all black like Zorro.
Yeah.
And he had black sunglasses, and he had a black hat like Zorro. Zorro, really. Zorro was the front man for Brother Willis.
Gustavi, do you have any information?
I'm looking up Brother Willis, and I'm finding nothing, Brian.
Dude, it's Brother, spelled correctly.
Okay, that makes
and
sense.
And then Willis, that's W-I.
I'm sure. And it's spelled Brother right. What was it, Willis?
W-I-L-L-I-S.
I spelled it right. It was the Willis Brothers from country music.
No, Brother Willis.
No, I know. It's not there. It's not there, Brian.
Wait, so...
Maybe he's not popular enough, or you know.
You bite your tongue, Gustavi. You bite your tongue.
Nick, wasn't I there for your first concert?
But I
yeah, at the Metro.
Yes.
Do you remember who played? I don't even remember who played.
It was a band that I think eventually became kind of popular. It was
Alcantria.
No.
It was Alcantria. Wow.
No, began with an S. Began with an S. It wasn't Supertramp.
No, it was
something.
No,
one.
It was Yellow Card.
Yellow Card.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it starts with an S.
You would.
Yellow Card.
Oh, gross. Man.
Did you rock Yellow out with card. A violin?
The dude did a backflip off the bass drum.
Yeah,
that was
what did
sweet.
You do today, LP?
Nothing.
Exactly. This guy did
that
a backflip.
Awesome.
That was my first concert. That was awesome. I have been to, I guess, one concert. Like, it was like a rock band. Like, I've always...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Makula. I need to let you know that I also have been trying to find Brother Willis.
You found it?
I put it in quotes. Actually, I found one person who was in Brother Willis.
The band is no more, Nick.
Oh, what?
No,
his name, this guy's name I found is Dennis James.
The Zorro.
It's also...
Wait, are you using Google?
Yes, I'm using Google.
Well, that's why Bing sucks. Fuck you, Mark. I've been on Bing this whole time, dude. No joke.
Oh,
okay,
yeah, because
that's why
Bing Explorer is the only thing that works.
I've been on
computer
Bing
now.
And I couldn't find. You said you found it first thing, right?
I found somebody that was in Brother Willis. He is now in a band called Ferris Bueller.
I've heard of that.
It's a band started by Chicago musicians, but they moved their band to Hawaii.
What?
Oh, no.
We are experienced musicians from Hawaii and Chicago and decided it would be fun to bring back the music of the 80s and other decades. We spent time talking with fans of live music and compiled a playlist based on the retro songs you most wanted to hear.
It sounds like a 4th of July concert band.
It sounds like that's exactly
they
what
play
it
the
is.
Suburbs of Hawaii.
I just want to say I'm looking at Tins's screen right now and I can see that Dennis James, the first thing mentioned in his like bio is that he was in Brother Willis and then also other top Chicago bands.
So it's the
so
thing
there you
he's
go.
Most
Brother
proud
Willis
of.
Is a top band, if not the top band for Dennis James.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zorro.
Dennis Zorro James.
It was amazing.
Do you guys frequent the rap concerts ever? Have you been to rap
concerts?
I want to.
I'm afraid.
Well,
I want to see Jay-Z.
They're very different from rap concerts. Yeah. It's completely different.
I can't get into like a rap as much.
What would you say is different, Clint?
I listen to it.
Man, like...
I like watching
them
on TV.
I feel like everyone is just so united and like dancing just way into it, even more so. I don't have a ton to compare to. Like, I've never been to Lollapalooza and stuff. But, like, man, I went to, Kanye West, and it was like senior year of high school, and I'd never really been to like a big concert, just you know, like high school band stuff, and it was like pretty epic, just everyone, like this huge auditorium, everyone just like doing the diamond sign, like everyone just
throwing up the rock.
Yeah, it was just like it was pretty epic.
I had a different experience when I saw Ludacris and Redman at Hawthorne Racetrack.
I know you saw them.
Yeah.
At a racetrack?
Yeah, at Hawthorne Racetrack.
That's awesome.
Man, everyone was so rowdy there. I went with...
I would be afraid.
Yeah, no, it got bad. We only stayed for Redman. And I really wanted to see Ludacris, but it was just, it got out of hand. Because I went with my friend, my very skinny white friend. And
it wasn't me.
Did they get smashed? You didn't get smashed at concerts.
Well, we didn't get smashed, but we got pushed around a bunch just because everyone got real rowdy. It was, it was a lot of fun. We didn't get hurt, but we were like, we're going to die here.
So. Shit gets rowdy sometimes.
I haven't only been to a handful of concerts in my life, and that's, I just don't like it.
I don't like, I hate
music. I love hearing the music, yeah. But I hate getting pushed around.
I hate girl talk that happened to me.
New Year's?
Yeah, New Year's. LP was standing next to me for the majority of that concert, and LP saw just my face. There's this guy who didn't just, he would just...
There's always that guy.
That guy who's just,
When I saw MGMT at Lala, there was this guy who was
who just doesn't think he has a stand.
And
he
literally, he's walking backwards just as forcefully as possible through the crowd.
I heard him. I heard him.
I was at both of those concerts. Yeah. I remember both of those guys. They were dicks.
This guy, he was just leaning against me, all his weight. He just felt like I was a couch.
Yeah.
And I was getting... Because then I was just slowly, more pushing to the front of the stage. I'm like, I want to hang out with my friends. Yeah. So I just kind of quickly just slid to my left, and he just fell straight onto the floor.
Fuck him.
And he looked at me. He's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, dude, I'm not your couch. Stand up. You're an adult.
Wow.
And I just walked away, and he was like, "Good."
But you said injured him.
I did. Well, he was he was bigger than me. He was injuring me. I'm a weakling.
I
don't think you said any of that shit to him.
No, I didn't. I kind of just walked away as quickly as I could.
I met a girlfriend at a concert because she passed out.
Really?
There was a girl that passed out at a Real Big Fish concert I was at, and I caught her, and I took her to the medic. And then she was very pretty, she was very thankful, and we hung out for the rest of the concert, she gave me a nice kiss, and said thank you for taking care of me, and I was very pleased.
I'm on the live chat, and I asked if this is how. Amy and Brian met.
No, it's totally... No.
Amy said no.
No, it didn't work out. It totally didn't work out.
And then Amy says, I bought him for $30.
Yeah. Yes, that's how But no, it totally didn't work out. It was really romantic, though. It was really a wonderful concert experience. It was really cool. It sucked for her. She passed out, but then she met me. I was pretty neat.
You guys ever go crowd surfing?
That's what
I found a little bit frustrating about being in that that sea of bodies at the MGMT show last year at Lala is we were up so close and it was real fun, but it was totally packed in, so I was just constantly being covered in other human sweat. But I think the crowd surfing for me was worst of all, because just once you get so close to the front of the stage, everybody is excited. Everybody wants to go nuts. So you're getting a ton of people that are trying to crowd surf. So at some point, it's just the sky is raining fucking skinny white dudes.
You get kicked in the head.
See, I would crowd surf only if I knew everyone in the crowd loved me. So it would be if people paid to see me, I would crowd surf.
Absolutely, you've earned that right.
I always get the unlucky part, because they're not everyone's helping the dude, and so now it's just a body flying, and it'll just fall on you.
I guess
you're not gonna carry it all that way.
I'll have to say on behalf of Keith. Because I know he would have a lot to say on this topic.
Oh, yes.
Being a tall person.
Oh,
Keith, is 6'4", right?
He's 6'3".
6'3". It feels like 6'4". Actually, 6'3".
6'4" on a good day.
6'4" on a good day. Keith Habersberger at a concert. When someone's crowd surfing, Keith's the first to get kicked in the head. That just happens to Keith too much. And I've been to several concerts with Keith, and I've seen him get pummeled just because he's the tall guy. Now, he stands up to it, and he'll lift that person
and throw
them
away. But he
can
see better at concerts, I'll say that much.
He can see better, but he's also the first to get kicked.
Yeah.
But also, it's terrible to be the short person at the concert.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you're in so much heat, you can't breathe.
I can say, as someone who went crowd surfing, you kick because it constantly feels like nobody is actually going to bother to hold you up. And in my case, they stopped at one point.
This has been another Mark Taylor song.
Like, I got up, I was, you know, kicking heads or whatever you do. And I was like, man, I was just getting used to it, like,
Mark,
the feeling,
so you know,
you're constantly
not supposed
falling.
To kick heads.
Yeah, that's not the goal of crowd. You don't get points for every head you kick in, and the person with the most points at the end of the concert wins a prize.
You get to meet the band, dude.
Well, oops, I guess. But no, I mean, like, I was kicking because I kept trying to get people's hands. And then, maybe 10 seconds in, I started really moving, and I was like, man, I'm probably moving faster than people can notice I'm above them. And just after I had that realization, nothing. I just fell on my tailbone from, like, 8.5 feet up.
Were you screaming throughout, or?
Not enough time. You can fall really fast
no,
if you
no,
put your
I
mind to
mean
it.
No, I just mean the whole crowd surfing experience. What, were you saying anything?
Whee!
Like, oh!
Ah!
Well, at first, I wasn't, it's hard because it's so many little, it's like, it's not so many hands that you feel safe. So you're constantly, like, as soon as you feel a hand that's, like, actually holding your weight, you sort of, like, lean toward it.
Wait, what? How did you come into crowd surfing?
I was shorter.
Jump?
No, and one of my friends, like, pushed me up because he was like, dude, do it. It's so much fun.
Okay.
You totally won't regret it.
We'll remember this
Believe
forever.
Me, Nick Bakula.
I'll see you back on the other side, safe and sound.
With my tailbone.
Yeah, man, Zorro was pissed when Mark crowd surfed to his feet. Oh, it was really weird. It was just a bar.
Ouch, though. That hurt for, like, weeks, probably.
Have any of you guys seen Tenacious D in concert?
No,
that'd be sick. Man.
Oh, that was one of the. I have.
I have their live album where they're in London. I have a videotape.
I've been to, like, 5 concerts, and one of the best ones was Jimmy Eat World opening for Tenacious D.
What?
Opening for Weezer.
Oh, yeah, I know about that.
Wow. That's, like, a famous.
Where?
Yeah.
Where was this at?
Awesome. It was at ISU.
ISU?
No way.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was
I
amazing.
Saw Jimmy Eat World. They put on a pretty good show.
It was great.
The other two are way better.
The one, God, when they came to Chicago, they didn't have Tenacious D, but they had Jimmy Eat World. Yeah,
it was
the same
awesome.
Tour, though.
Really?
That's a dream concert. Colleges get dream concerts.
Yeah,
dude.
They got
Way to
money.
Normal. I was at that concert.
Way to Normal, the Ben Folds concert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was supposed to be at that concert. It didn't happen. It was very sad.
No, yeah, it was awesome. He was playing multiple instruments at once, and he, like, killed it. He made up Effington,
Ben Folds,
like, was on the spot. We saw him improvise it, and then it was on the album.
It's awesome.
Yeah. They got the name of that city wrong, though.
It's Effingham.
I think he did it on purpose, though. Or do you think
Maybe
he just didn't give a fuck?
I think he... Well, because they were guessing at the name of the city when they were trying to... Because they were just talking about stuff they saw on the bus. And they're like, hey, you guys got a town over here called, like, Effington or something? That's weird. And that's when they started making up the song. So I think they thought back of that. They're like, hey, that Effington song was pretty cool. Let's make that Effington song. And
that's
they may just not have bothered to ever
yeah,
look at
cared.
The actual name, which at that point I don't think it really matters.
Yeah,
my apologies really cool. to our Effingham listeners.
It's hey, we probably do have
one
Effingham
guy.
Listeners actually.
Fuck you, Ben Folds.
Oh, you know, but
I
it's
used
such
to think
a beautiful
you're a
song,
cool Ben Folds.
I don't know.
The Effington song is a really beautiful song.
Yeah, it really is.
The only thing that's probably not good about the Effington song is that it starts out with the line, if there's a God, he's laughing at us and our
football team.
Which is not, because, you know, the Effington whatever is
the Effington,
the Effington
fuckers.
I mean, that's terrible.
What?
Why?
The football name.
My favorite concert ever was at a college. It was at Lake Forest College. And it was a free concert for Lake Forest students and two friends. And I was one of two friends.
Who was playing?
It was Real Big Fish.
Nice.
And they actually started just taking requests from the crowd. And it was so awesome.
Nice.
And I was 17.
Is that when you hung out?
I heard in
and
a bathroom.
They hung out with us.
Whoosh! Ba ba ba! Ba 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 ba!
yeah, man, they hung out with me. It was a rad show too. It was just that is a tight show. That is a show band too. Like they're showmen, and they all of them are accomplished musicians.
LP, remember when we saw Daft Punk?
We've talked about that, but I want to talk.
Yeah,
about
it. What's awesome. That like? What's Daft that like?
Yeah,
because not a whole I lot like of people have had now, the experience of seeing a live DJ. Tins and Lisa and I got to see Questlove DJ.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was sick.
So what was it like seeing a Daft Punk show?
Well, especially because it's Lollapalooza, like they.
It's nighttime by that point.
It's
too,
nighttime,
right?
And it's just like the most epic light show to two robots just bouncing their heads with the music with you.
And a giant pyramid of light.
And it looks awesome, and like all the designs they do, and then the sounds that they're matching the lights with, it's breathtaking. And everyone there is dancing.
It's a laser light show, essentially.
Yeah, everyone is dancing because that's what everyone wants to do.
So cool.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, one time I saw, the first time I ever saw like electronic music live,
mm-hmm.
Was at this random concert at the University of Chicago, I think. And it was called The Recipe. It was like the name of the event. Mm-hmm. But what was really cool about it is it had four different rooms. They had a hip hop room where they had like shit you could graffiti on the walls of this room with. And they had like live hip hop. Some group called, I think, the Sidewalk Scholars were headlining. But then there was like all these other acts. And then there were like breakdance circles and stuff like that. And then another room had like DJs and
wait,
things like
this?
That.
Where is this phantom room?
University of Chicago. It was just in this mansion house. And then one room was like...
It sounds like Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. Kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just picture Mark in like a nice suit. Like,
so scary bird mask.
So imagine...
bird mask.
I want you to imagine...
This is the graffiti room.
Imagine Eyes Wide Shut. As I finish this tale, imagine everything is like Eyes Wide Shut, please. And then there was like a Chicago indie rock type bands room, and then there was a swing and jazz room, and then the best part was in the middle, like right where the giant staircase of this mansion led down.
Just a giant pile of people fucking.
And around the fucking people were just tables covered in Subway sandwiches and Snapple, and it was
nice.
All free.
Ugh, I don't want those subs now.
Yeah,
hey man, it's like Eyes Wide Shut. It's what happens.
But it was cool. Have a fuck sandwich with me and some Snapple.
Hey, what's the trivia on that cap?
Can you imagine just going to an orgy and it's sponsored by Subway? So like the beds are just
Jared's
made a foot long. Yeah.
I think it'd be weird if it was sponsored by Snapple.
See, you just
into orgies.
You fuck on sandwiches for hours, and like the wrapping's bound to come off. It's tomato.
Oh yeah.
Tuna salad and pulled pork everywhere.
I don't think Subway would ever allow that to happen.
You don't know,
a sponsored
man.
Event. If they're
depends
gonna sponsor...
how many people are at this orgy.
If Subway,
if a couple
really
million go to an orgy.
If Subway sponsors...
if it's a million man orgy, you know Subway's there, man.
Look, if Subway's sponsoring an orgy, they're not gonna let you fuck on their sandwiches. They are sandwich artists.
What you do
you
with their sandwiches is your business.
Yeah.
If I want to buy
Subway's motto.
If I want to build or if I want to buy a bunch of sandwiches, invite 1,000 of my friends over and just have everyone fuck on those sandwiches. I bought those sandwiches. Those are my sandwiches.
Oh my god.
Or maybe they didn't know they were sponsoring an orgy. Like, they're just like, oh, it's a big event. There's gonna be naked people.
Dude.
Gwendolyn, what? What was that
so,
last part?
So, pardon our dust if some of them are fucking.
Maybe, like, oh, millions of people. This is great. We're sponsoring.
The hardwood floor is hard.
Man,
why not fuck on these sandwiches?
I would so much yeah. rather have an orgy be sponsored by Snapple, because at least it would be the best stuff on earth.
Oh, wow.
So refreshing afterward, too. I mean, what's better after, like, some hot coitus with a bunch of strangers than just busting open a Snapple?
What?
Made from the best stuff.
It can have a condom inside the thing. That's safe sex.
I don't want to drink.
Snapple flavored condom.
Castelli, when's the last time you've had a Snapple?
Never.
You can't fit a goddamn condom into a Snapple jar.
If you bottle it that way,
whatever. Snapple can do it.
Then you gotta drink the whole thing to earn your condom.
You're not even gonna talk about how a condom inside of a Snapple bottle is probably not gonna work on the condom. It's probably going to eat away.
Well, it's going to be wrapped. I'm going to wrap the condoms before I shove them into my juice bottles.
I got to say,
I'm thinking logically here.
All right.
I got to say, I don't want my secret prize with my juice to be rubber.
I don't want to have to like keep to get to the bottom of the bottom third of my jar of Snapple and have to like be accidentally touching my tongue to the condom at the bottom.
It's just a balloon, Tins. It's just a balloon with laxative, with, you know, spermicide.
No, I don't want that. Tins, this isn't okay.
I know it's not okay.
You can't let
I'd have fun.
Snapple. Dude, I own Snapple now. This is why we're talking about this.
No.
And I'm going to do it.
No.
Then don't buy my product at my orgy.
I will.
It was free.
Snapple presents Orgy 2011.
Like the band Orgy?
You can just pass up that Orgy merch table, B-Wo.
Look, man, I gotta go to the merch table. I have quite a few concert t-shirts.
Note to all, don't arrive at a concert already drunk, because then you will buy things from the merch table you don't need.
Oh, yeah?
Such as?
Yes, mainly Girl Talk.
When we were at Girl Talk.
Yeah. That's right.
$40, but I wear it. I wear it.
You fell on the floor before we left the apartment.
That's right.
I sat on the floor.
Comfortably. Get it straight,
you're right.
Brian.
You sat with style. It was a stylish sit.
Yeah, I remember, like, by the time the show was over, I remember you looking at me and saying, like, Tans, I bought this.
When I lost my jeans, I brought, like, backup jeans. It was so cold. And someone, took them.
But at least you had the extra t-shirt because I hated 2010. I knew 2007 would be a disgustingly cold year because when all of us left to find a cab...
Oh my horrible. Gosh.
Survival of the fittest.
That was one of
the worst nights of my life. Because Tins and I, remember, because we all just, we're like, everyone split up.
Yeah, everyone split up. Stupid.
Tins and I. It was like Tins, Cloud, and I.
It was an hour for me to get back.
I know. I
took
the train.
A concert is like one of the worst things.
Especially New Year's Eve and January free, like, 8-5 degrees outside
on
Milwaukee Avenue.
I lost my scarf that night to the coat check.
I didn't. I almost.
Yeah, they were just stealing shit at that coat check.
Yeah, and then I went with Chris, and I think maybe Lisa or someone. I went with somebody, your friends, and we found a cab.
Megan Miller came. We're like, yeah.
No, I was in that cab too.
We found a cab, and there was too many people. So I said, I was like, oh, you guys go ahead.
No.
I'll get the next cab. And so I waited like an extra 15 minutes.
Oh,
it was awful.
Yeah, it was deathly cold.
I think there were like 10 of us in that cab, I'm pretty sure.
I walked about 2 miles in that cold.
You walked to Ashland, didn't you?
Wow.
With a very angry girlfriend.
Yeah.
Very angry just people all around me. And all I could think of was, God, I had so much fun at that concert.
Yeah, it was a great concert.
I had such
a
great time.
For so long.
I know. I spent the whole time at that concert with a party hat on. It was great.
Wait, your party hat stayed on the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah, so did mine.
I lost mine, really.
I popped a balloon, and it was awesome.
Dude, my party hat ain't never going to break.
Well played.
Yeah, and not only at that concert, but at Lollapalooza when I was with a bunch of you guys, we had a great time. We were able to keep track of each other by using beak hands.
Oh, yeah.
When you get lost in a crowd.
It's a tried and true method. Well, beak hands, for our listeners, are if you're ever lost in a big crowd, it works great in a concert setting. You just hold your arm up in the air as far as it will go.
Show everyone how to do it in the podcast.
And make a little beak out of it, like a little bird going, meh, 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 meh. And because nobody else does that, you'll be recognized instantly. Tried and true. Also, don't... Like, we don't need too many people doing beak hands or it's going to start getting confusing. So
we did start to communicate with people
via don't do it.
So don't do the thing we just
We did start to communicate with people via beak hands, though, at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was a wild night. And so just everybody's ready to communicate via beak hands at Lollapalooza. I think that's a given.
Some, in lieu of beak hands, if you want to vary things up, you can try sticking your arm in the air and doing a good tiger claw, or do circles in the air with your finger, or, you know, do do like an air golf swing or something like
Damn
that.
Damn it, I was just going to get to it.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, you're not going to let your friends know that it's an air golf swing unless you've got your swing perfectly straight and they can recognize that.
Right.
So I would need some tips.
It's time for Cloud's golf tips.
Can you lift me higher?
The night before your big tournament, you want to go to the golf course and just take buckets and buckets of water, just get all that water out of them ponds and fill it up with Jell-O. That way, when your ball lands in the water and everyone is all freaking out, you can just say, gotcha, and hit it off of your sweet treat. And the ball is still in play.
This has been Cloud's Golf Tips. Home run.
Cloud, I'm noticing a formula to your golf tips lately.
Nonsense?
Nonsense followed by that way. It will thwart your opponent like thus.
Is that Clouds also?
You can't stand in Jell-O.
Yeah. I'm very bad at
Why
golf.
Why would you replace the water with Jell-O?
I'm bad at golf, so the only way I can win is by ruining the other person.
It's by sabotage.
I love the idea of going to a golf course and replacing all the water hazards by bucket.
And then
some of them are
Jell-O.
The Jell-O batters.
Couldn't you just put Jell-O into the water?
Like Jell-O mix? No, yeah. Jell-O mix like the hot and cold. And
you know you can't stand in Jell-O, right?
But like a ball wouldn't sink into it.
We can't hit off of the ball.
It would. It would if it was dropping. Like if it was dropping real fast, it would cut right through that Jell-O.
I'm just telling you what works for me.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Give away my secrets. They don't come for free.
You're right. So. They do. But you're telling them for free. I'm sorry. You're right.
Boy, Jell-O on a golf course sounds like fun. Like a lot of fun.
Seven words.
Not yet. Uncle Fun is a fantastic toy, prank, book store, etc. on the corner of Belmont and Southport. And they are just some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet there. Their pranks are nonsense, and they are a proud supporter of Octavarius, as we are a proud supporter of Uncle Fun.
You know what I need to do this week? I never followed up with what my wife and I got each other for Christmas this year, and we got all of our gifts from Uncle Fun. So I will post, finally, all the merchandise
we
got.
They've given us lots of fun toys.
I went there today.
Did you?
I did. Got a silly disguise.
Did you?
Nice.
Okay. Well, Uncle Fun, 1338 West Belmont Avenue.
I believe that's UncleFunChicago.com.
That's correct.
Yeah, for this weekend's Octopalooza show, you can get a sweet tattoo sleeve at Uncle Fun.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's one other thing we should remind you about is this Sunday show. If you're listening live, this will be our Octopalooza show coming up. So coming out for live music, we've got a full band prepared to just wow you. They're going to be great. Keith and I met with a few of them over the weekend, and it's just going to be wonderful. We're
Quantum
so excited.
Soul Theory is their name.
Special guest Jason Raymer.
Yeah, I'm real excited.
So come on out to that. Follow us on Facebook, or just the group Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, at Octavarius. And with that, it's just about time to go. But before we leave you all for this week, it's just about time for Nick Mikula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Gong.
Password. Fidelio. I got blisters on me finger.
This been
Nick Mikula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
If only we could play that backwards.
I caught where you were going with that, at least.
Thank you.
I got the reference.
Okay. Thank you.
Fingers my on blisters got I Fidelio
Nick
password.
Is dead now.
Nick is dead now?
Nick is dead now?
That's what I heard when we played it backwards.
Oh, boy.
What the? No. No.
I heard it.
So play this podcast backwards. Can you do that?
You can play backwards.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's a pain in the ass.
We'll just see in the next improv show if Nick's wearing shoes. We'll find out that way.
That's fucking ridiculous.
What does that mean?
Beatles joke. That's going to do it for us this week, folks. We're just about out of time. So we'll see you next Monday, same damn time, same damn channel. Until then,
okay.
Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Octavarius.com.
go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
Let's go to BMO Your Life.
It sounds like he's got a lot to say. Passes the mic and get ready.